Why is Islam the most violent among Islam Abrahamic religions? What is there in the Quran that makes it more violent? I have talked about this in three different ways. First of all, it's not just religion that makes people violent. It is people who are violent find some reason to be violent, and religion becomes a reason for them also. If we consider the wars which have been fought even in recent history, the biggest wars were World War I and World War II. There was no religion involved over there at all. So it was just ideology, Nazism or fascism, which caused war. Then there was, if we consider the communist era in China and Soviet Russia, actually these two countries, without any war, killed 3 times more people, their own citizens, than the number of people killed in World War I and World War II combined together. They just wanted to establish communism and eliminate all opposition to communism. So anyone who was suspected to be an opponent was just eliminated. Millions and millions of people were killed. So actually speaking, it is people who have a mentality to be violent, they will be violent, and they will find some reason to be violent. So there are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, ignorance. And generally, passion combined with ignorance is the cause of violence. And there can be people of within a particular race, within a particular country, within a particular ideology, within a particular caste, within a particular religion, who may have more passion ignorance, and they will be violent. So that's the first point I would like to make. Second point is, historically speaking, in most religions there has been a division of power or separation of power between the spiritual and the political. So for example, in our tradition, in the Sanatan Dharma, we have the spiritual power is vested with the Brahmins, the spiritual intellectual power, and the political martial power is vested with the Kshatriyas. If you see Buddhism also, Buddha was a spiritual teacher. Buddhism propagated primarily because of Ashoka. He became a Buddhist and then he propagated the teaching of violence using all his state resources. Christianity also, Jesus was like the spiritual teacher, and later on Christianity spread because of Paul. Paul was spiritual as well as political influence. And then later on, when the Roman Empire, the Roman Emperor adopted Christianity, that's when it really became the state religion and it spread very fast. So in general, in most religions, there is a separation of spiritual power and political power. In Islam, however, there is a combination of both. Muhammad happened to be both the spiritual teacher and the political leader. And politics in this world is a dirty business. Even people with the purest of intentions, when they get into politics, they have to do such certain things. So he did give spiritual teachings, and there are many, many people who, by practicing the teachings of Islam, live a more pious and a more godly life. Today in this world, 1 out of every 4 persons is a Muslim. If all Muslims were violent, this world would be a hellish place. It's not that all Muslims are violent. So now, at an individual level, Muslims, they look at Muhammad's teachings and they look at Muhammad's example as a spiritual teacher. And they follow his teachings, they give charity, they do namaz, they do various things, and then in many ways they live a religious life, they live a godly life, their consciousness gets elevated by that. At the same time, at a political level, the leaders of Islam, at least many of the leaders of Islam, they focus more on Muhammad's political example than Muhammad's spiritual example. And because they focus on his political example, then they try to imitate what he did politically. That's why at a political level, Islam, or a political or a group level, you could say, at a community level where the leaders of the community are there, at a group level, at an individual level, Islam may be a path to godliness for many, many people. It is a path to godliness for many people. But at a social level, Islam becomes less a path to God and more a tool to political power. And that is why, because Muhammad fought wars, and many of Islam's leaders do use Muhammad's example to fight wars, justify the fighting of wars. That's how Islam is associated much more with violence than with other religions. And of course, if we consider this is specifically to Islam, there are, because this political example is more quoted by Islam's political leaders, so it is more associated with violence. The last point is that we as individuals need to be aware of both the political and the transcendental. The transcendental means, now I have Muslim friends, I am part of interfaith conferences, and one of my Muslim friends told me that I can communicate better with moderates of other traditions than extremists of my own tradition. So moderates means those people who are balanced, those who are more or less, you could say, in mode of goodness. So moderates, whether there can be moderate Muslim, there can be moderate Hindu, there can be moderate Christian, and they will have some commonality. And they can be like-minded, they can connect. We can appreciate something in their tradition, they appreciate something in our tradition, and we can move on. So moderates are basically people in goodness. Extremists are people in mode of passion and ignorance. So irrespective of what religion a person professes, the people in goodness and people in ignorance think in very different ways. And they just can't connect. So what can we do as outsiders, to Islam? We have to be aware that there is a threat of extremism and violence, which is quite real. And we have to be prepared for that. Even when I go to the Middle East, there the Muslims are quite strong in demanding rights to practice their religion in other countries where they are minorities. But in their countries, they don't allow any other religion to practice publicly. So when we go there, I can't go in this dress. I also have to wear civil clothes and go into the country. Of course, some Muslim countries are more liberal than others. We can't paint all of Islam by the same brush. So there is a threat, no doubt, that if extremists in Islam gain power, then they will make our practice of bhakti almost impossible. So we have to be aware of that threat. At the same time, we have to see that this is not what all of Islam is. There is extremism within Islam, and there is Islam which is much bigger. So the more the rest of the world equates Islam with extremist Islam, then what happens? The extremists get more and more power. Because those who are moderate, they will be disempowered. Anyway, you are moderate, but who cares for you? The world is still going to label us as extremists only. So just stop, give up your moderation and become extremists. So if we equate Islam with extremism, then we disempower the moderates. And thus we end up actually making Islam more and more extremist. But at the same time, if we close our eyes and say, actually there is nothing wrong with Islam. Not wrong with Islam, there is no extremism in Islam. That is a tiny fringe in Islam. It's not a tiny fringe, it is a significant number of people. Because people are influenced by the leaders. So then, we will stay blind, we will keep our eyes blind, and we will keep ourselves blind, and we will eventually set ourselves up for trouble. So a balanced attitude would be that rather than looking at Islam as a religious group, we can look at philosophically as people in goodness, passion, ignorance. And people in passion, ignorance, they will use whatever reason to justify their fighting. That's by the balance. And in this case, they use Islam as a rationalization for their violence. So we need to, if we don't have to have a negative attitude toward Islam, at the same time we have to be cautious about, aware and cautious about the extremism in Islam that is there. And in general, if the mode of goodness rises in the world, then we can have more sanity and more order. And the mode of passion and ignorance rises, whether it is because of Islam or whether it is because of any other reasons, then we violence. So we need to, first of all, ourselves be in goodness. If we have a fragmented vision saying, oh, all of Muslims are extremists, and we are ourselves not in goodness, we are in passion and ignorance, then we are simply increasing the influence of the lower modes. So we have to be aware of the full picture, which includes awareness of extremism, but it also recognizes that there are people in goodness even in Islam. And if we have greater influence, then we try to empower those who are in goodness by encouraging them, by appreciating them. The ISKCON has had many years of Christian Vaishnav dialogue. Almost 25 years we have been having that. And at one time ISKCON in America was accused of brainwashing people. And at that time there were many Christian organizations who supported us. And they said that no, these are not brainwashers. They are part of a very ancient traditional religion. And now why do they support? It's not that they loved us, or it's not that they want. They thought that they had their own reasons. They said that today these Hare Krishnas are labeled as brainwashers. Tomorrow Christians can also be labeled as brainwashers. So they wanted to protect their religious freedom. But the point is, their support made a big difference for us at that time. So there are fanatical Christians who will try to convert at all costs. They are the more the passion and ignorance. And there are broad-minded Christians who will appreciate other religions. So now ISKCON is also working in having a Vaishnav Muslim dialogue. So we have had in America several, and I think in December the first Vaishnav Muslim dialogue is going to happen in Delhi here. It's in the Noida temple. Anuttam approached that temple, plus our ISKCON commission director, he's trying to organize that. So if we have influence, we connect with and empower the moderates and thus foster the mode of goodness. At the same time, being aware that there are the modes of passion and ignorance which can also create trouble. So that way, if we have a holistic picture, then we can respond maturely.